everybody. Hope you're ready to hear from the most organic guy around. Here he is, landscape architect, arborist, author, columnist for the Dallas Morning News, and my dad, the dirt doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome, everybody. Let's talk a little more gardening. This hour is brought to you by Crazy Water over in Mineral Wells, Texas. I recommend their water highly. I tend to drink the number 4, which is the highest mineral content, but they have several different choices, and I think you'll like it as much as I do. DrinkCrazyWater.com is the website to go to get more information, so check it out. Let's go back to the phones. That number, by the way, is 866-444-3478. Craig, somebody had called in. I know what it was, Matt. They had called in about how dry molasses worked on some project. Yeah, I hope he calls back. I'd like to hear the details on what he was going to say there. Craig in Frisco next up. Hello, Craig.
Hey, how's it going, sir?
Doing well here. How about there?
Doing very well. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Well, hey, I didn't call about the molasses, but I was going to ask, you always mentioned dry molasses.
Uh-huh.
And the garden center I go to was out of dry molasses, and I got the liquid form. Is there any big difference between those two?
Well, yeah, there's a tremendous difference, but both are good products. They just do different things. The liquid molasses, Craig, is just the a sugar, and we use it. It's a major ingredient in the Garrett juice formula, you know, along with the seaweed and fish and vinegar and compost tea and everything. It will stimulate biological activity beautifully. You can use it in with any organic pesticide, pest control product that you're spraying to make the pest control work better and last longer. And so it's a good tool. It's good for the soil, and it's good for the whole program. The dry molasses is a completely different product, though. What it is little bitty bits of an organic byproduct. The product that I recommend the most that is available through the Natural Organic Warehouse and that you see in most of the stores, not all of them around, is a soy residue, and onto that soy they spray the liquid molasses. So instead of just having sugar in the product, it's a combination of sugar and the protein of the soy bits, and so it functions as a more complete fertilizer, and just, you know, has a little bit more value. I think a lot of people like putting out a dry material more so than a liquid material. I've got some at home and at the office right now I need to put out that I haven't put out yet, and I use it as the fertilizer.
Okay, great. Well, yeah, it sounds like I need to get some of the dry stuff.
It's good stuff. It's hard to beat. The only thing you can do wrong, and it's a little dangerous that I have it in a wheelbarrow outside. I've got it under a carport, but if it gets wet, it will turn into a brick. So,
oh, okay.
You have to be a little bit careful about that.
All right, we'll do.
Okay.
Well, the original question I called about, I've got a pair of teddy bear magnolia trees that I'm planning to plant.
Uh-huh.
They're in the pot right now. And I was just curious if I needed to hold off before I planted them. I wasn't sure exactly the best time to plant those.
This afternoon.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, whenever you bring a plant home from a nursery, Craig, whether it's in the middle of the summer or the middle of the fall or the middle of the winter, I guess if it was about to go down to 30 below zero, this wouldn't be appropriate. But other than that, the best thing to do is get the plant in the ground. A plant will be in less stress in the ground than it's going to be in that plastic pot above ground. So you want to, and the other part of the puzzle here is that the fall right now is the absolute best time to plant new plants.
Okay, yeah, that's where I've kind of been waiting for the fall. And I was reading up on some of the your recent newsletters on planting trees, and I saw that there was something about waiting until it was end of winter, and I saw that and just wasn't exactly sure what I should do.
You saw something about waiting until the end of winter, and something that I wrote.
It was on the bare root. It was your bare root.
It should have said during the winter instead of the end of winter.
I don't quote me on it. I knew it said something about the winter, and so I just thought, well, maybe I need to wait. And I'm new to all this. So.
Well, I think you're in the window now, even for bare rooting. I think that now that we've gotten, it's cooled down. And as soon as you start seeing a little bit of fall color, and we're there now, we're starting to see a little bit here and there, you can do the bare rooting. I'm tending to recommend to people kind of a semi-bare rooting situation where you take the plant out of the container, if it's a container plant, put it over in water and let it soak and rake some of the excess soil off the top and knock a little bit off the outside, but leave the bulk of the root ball intact, so you're kind of bare rooting the top and getting the flare exposed, and you're bare rooting kind of the edge of the pot, but you're not completely bare rooting it. For most people, that's a better way to go, and you can do that pretty much any time of the year, but especially you can do it right now.
All right, great. Well, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I was told 12 feet would be as close as I wanted to put those together. If they're going to the same side of the yard. A decent distance.
What kind of magnolias are they?
Teddy bear
magnolia. I've never grown that one. Is it one that's supposed to be kind of smallish?
Yeah.
or a big plant?
No, it's of the magnolias, I think it's supposed to 25 feet, I believe, is the
okay.
expected.
That'd be fine, because you can always, if they get too big, you can always take some out. I've kind of designed projects that way sometimes to have it have a certain look in the beginning, and then as plants get big, certain plants are removed because of the changing light patterns, because of the shade of the plants and all, and move things around or even take some plants out. My wife doesn't always agree with those taking things out things. I have to do that on the sly sometimes. But I don't have any problem with 12 feet. Sounds fine. It may be kin to one that they call the little gem magnolia. And if it is, there's a big misconception about little gem magnolia, and it may be with this one too. There are people who are always preaching that it's a dwarf magnolia, that it only grows half the size of a big magnolia. And that's not true. The little gem magnolia will get gigantic. It'll get as big as the regular magnolias. It just has smaller leaves, and it's a lot slower growing. But I still don't have any problem with the spacing. And if they get to be too close together, you can always thin some of them out or move them to a new location.
All right. Well, thanks for your advice, and I plan to do exactly what you're telling me. So.
Okay, Craig, thanks.
Have a good one.
Talk to you later. Let's go to Bushmill, Florida, and talk to Gordon. Hey, Gordon.
How you doing?
Doing well.
I called last week to tell you I had a rabbit in my yard looking at my garden.
Yeah.
And you said get rabbit scram. I was telling my buddy about it, and he says, I told him I was going to use that hot pepper sauce. And he says, no, don't use that. I said, it'll burn your plant. So I said, well, I'll get some rabbit scram. He said, you don't have to do that. He says, get some seven dust and put that on, and he says the rabbits won't go near that seven dust, but he says you have to put it on in the morning when the dew's on the plant. He says don't wet it with a hose or wait till the rain. He says it won't stick. He says, did you ever hear of that? I heard of that 40 years ago. Is that true?
Well, Gordon, I'm glad you called with this conversation. Have you bought the seven dust yet?
I already bought that seven dust a year ago, yeah.
You already have?
I have never even opened it up, though.
Okay.
I've never had any trouble with any bugs or none.
Well, you ought to take it back, because it's one of the most toxic products on Earth that's still on the market.
Right.
And there's no way in the world I'd put it on food crops to run off rabbits or anything else. It's an active ingredient is what caused the death of several thousand people in Bhopal, India, just to give you an idea.
Before I put it on there, because I don't really need it, because I don't have any trouble with any bugs or anything out here where I live at.
Yeah, if you'll notice on the package there, as you take it back to wherever you bought it, it says in great big letters it'll kill honeybees. It's extremely toxic in all kinds of ways, including to people. It has the reputation for some bizarre reason of being one of the lower toxicity pesticides out there, but it's not true at all. The Tabasco, by the way, and hot pepper will not burn the plants unless you overdo it.
Right, that's kind of what I thought. I was going to dilute mine out to a gallon of water.
Yeah, we use garlic pepper tea and pepper teas and Tabasco mixed with water and things like that all the time and rarely getting burned. If you overdid it, used it way too heavily, it would, but just
right.
Use it at a reasonable rate and it won't be a problem at all, and it'll solve the rabbit problem for you.
Well, I think that rabbit scram probably sounded like the best idea anyway.
No, it's great. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. I'm Howard Garrett. Be back right after this. There's a small dog food company up near the Red River in Munster, Texas, and it's the one I recommend you try for your dogs. My dogs eat only Munster Natural Dog Food. I'm sure that doesn't surprise you. Main thing to them is the taste, but Judy and I notice how it makes them look and feel. Other major points are the absence of toxic preservatives and the presence of the highest quality ingredients around, including prebiotics and L-carnitine. Also, some very unusual ingredients that I've been recommending for a long time. Some of the Munster dog foods contain no soy, wheat, or corn. Some of the formulas are the original ones, but all Munster natural foods are made with grains from local farmers, and the bags are made right here in the United States, not in China. Everything about Munster natural is quality and results in healthy dogs and cats. If your pet food store doesn't stock Munster natural, ask them to contact Munster Milling through their website at munstermilling.com and make your dogs and cats happier and healthier.
Believe it or not, weight management is more than simply calories in versus calories out. To achieve your ideal weight, your digestive system must function effectively. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author of The Hamptons Diet and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Research has found that there are regulating factors that control absorption of calories and whether they are stored as fat. One of the most significant influences in our ability to keep fat off is having the proper amounts of beneficial bacteria in our GI tract. These friendly bacteria help in regulating blood sugar and normalizing our appetite. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics every day due to its carefully selected strains of live beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health, increase energy through better absorption of nutrients, and help with weight management. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available today. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And somebody else called in about the teddy bear magnolia, said that they planted some and they took off and they're growing real well. I just did a real quick search on teddy bear, and it's talking about Little Jim and teddy bear both being dwarf magnolias. And that's just a real common misconception out there. They're not. Little Jim, and if teddy bear is the same, it sounds like it's pretty close to it. They'll get big. They just have smaller leaves and give the appearance of being a dwarf, smaller plant, but they're going to get to be really big. A lot of people are going to be surprised at how big they get. They probably have a little slower growth, a little smaller internodes, and get there slower, but they're going to get to be big trees. Open line, by the way, at 866-444-3478. Here's Lisa in Farmers Branch. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Howard. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you.
Good. I'm having a problem with, I think it's called take all root rot in some St. Augustine grass in front of, I live in condominiums, but they planted some St. Augustine there and it was doing great. And now it's just about gone in front of my place and it's starting to spread to other areas, so I wanted to see what I could do before the fall hits to try to get that under control.
Well, it's around out there, fairly common. We've even seen some signs of it in some of the old turf that we have in some of our experimental gardens. The A&M recommendation on it is to use peat moss, which I don't recommend. I don't like peat moss for anything. It's too expensive, and the main thing it does in their explanation about why it works, they say it's because it lowers the pH. Well, you can do that with the spray of Garrett juice. It has a lower pH because of the vinegar in it, or you can add more vinegar, make it even more powerful in that specific regard, or you can spray vinegar by itself. You can use apple cider vinegar, 2-3 ounces per gallon of water, and spray in that area. And as far as putting out organic matter products, which I think is beneficial in this case, compost would be better, in my opinion, than the peat moss would. Putting out about a 1/2-inch layer right now. And again, like several things we've talked about today, right now in the fall is the ideal time to put out the compost, 1/2-inch of compost over that area. And if the take-all patch fungus hadn't taking the plants down too far, they'll respond very well, especially if you do the vinegar or the Garrett juice with a little bit of extra vinegar added into the mix.
Okay. I've been putting the dry molasses out there and some cornmeal. Is that helpful too? Or?
Yeah, you bet. That's the fertilizer, the dry molasses that I use, and the cornmeal is a fungus control. So both those things should help you very well. Once that disease gets started, it's pretty tough. And I think having the compost layer, just like, you know, they apparently see some results from using the peat moss. And if you want to do that, it's not a, you know, it's not a toxic thing or anything like that. It's just that it's more expensive, it seems to me, than some of these other techniques that we use.
Okay. All right.
So either way you want to go.
All right. Sounds great.
Appreciate the call.
All right. Thanks, Howard.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
866-444-3478. Open line for you. 866-444-DIRT 3478. Here's David in Richardson. Hey, David.
Hey, Howard. I've got a question about okra and one about molasses.
Okay.
The molasses I got, when I opened it up, it looked like cow feed. And I didn't think that much about it. I went ahead and put the whole bag out. And it looked like I overseeded with a green rice.
Uh-oh. Had some contamination in it, huh?
Yeah, the guy at the nursery said they supposed to roll it, and they didn't roll it. It had a little white seed in it. And
left it. What did they say the white seed was?
They said milo, but it looked more like wheat or it's the shape of a football, a little white.
Man, that is weird, David. That's bad. What was the brand name? Whose product was it?
It was in a white bag. I can't. Nature's Guide or something. I don't know. Is that in a white bag?
Theirs is a colorful bag. It may be base white, and it has some color on it.
Yeah, I don't know. Don't remember which one it was.
Okay, well, check on it and let me know. Email us and let us know, because that's really bad if somebody's selling something that has some weed seed contamination in the thing.
Yeah, I can tell you the name of the nursery if you want out the air.
Well, it doesn't matter who the nursery was. Let me put you on hold, and I will talk to you off the air about it, but we need to mainly find out who the manufacturer is so that won't happen again. I'll talk to David off the air, Matt, in just a little bit. Susie in Mansfield next up. Hi, Susie.
Hi, Howard. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you.
Howard, I've got a St. Augustine grass, and in the backyard, I had a little yellow patch that everything was going really good, and then all of a sudden this yellow little patch came out, and I thought, well, maybe I just missed watering it. So I've been watering, and now I've got two rather large yellowing patches. Can you tell me what that is?
Well, it may be brown patch in your situation. Have you been using organic fertilizers?
No. I haven't fertilized at all. It just grows.
Okay. Well, let me put you on hold, and we'll chat a little bit off the air, and then we can come back on there if you want to have some other questions, too. We'll chat about it right after this. Howard Garrett.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Election Day, 5 weeks away, and Mitt Romney is looking toward Wednesday's debate to shift the dynamics that appear to have turned in the president's race in President Obama's favor, at least as far as the mainstream media is concerned. However, Romney's running mate, Paul Ryan, tells Fox News the race is close and he doesn't think any one event is going to make or break the campaign. Afghan officials say a, quote, misunderstanding led to a deadly firefight between U.S. forces and their Afghan army allies in eastern Afghanistan today. 2 Americans and 3 Afghan soldiers killed. The incident marks the 2,000th U.S. troop death in the Afghan war. Bombs have struck Shiite neighborhoods in Iraq, security forces, and other targets across the country today, killing at least 26 people. The deadliest attack coming in the town of Taji, a former al-Qaeda stronghold. This is SRN News.
Do you have dark circles or puffy eyes? If you have dark circles under your eyes, bags, or puffiness, we're looking for you. Because right now, we're sending free jars of a fast-acting eye cream to listeners of this station. You heard right. Every listener who calls now will learn how to get a free jar of Lumitone, the cream that fades dark circles from view in seconds. You only pay shipping and handling. We only have a limited supply of free jars, so don't wait. For details, just call 1-800-426-7120. Lumitone makes dark circles less visible in seconds. Watch your dark circles fade from view like magic. And Lumitone is great for puffiness, bags, and fine lines by the eyes. This free giveaway is for listeners of this station, but it won't last. Call us now for details on this Lumitone free offer. Just call 1-800-426-7120. 1-800-426-7120. Call 1-800-426-7120.
With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss. Not many are surprised number 9 West Virginia won their first ever game as a member of the Big 12. Who, though, expected they would score 70 points against number 25 Baylor? West Virginia coach Dana Holgorsen says Geno Smith could not have played any better in their 70-63 victory over the Bears.
I don't know how you can improve on that. I mean, he was 45 of 51 for 656 yards and 8 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. Can you please explain to me how you can improve on that?
Mountaineers now 4-0, play at 4-0 Texas next week. The 12th-ranked Longhorns escape with a 41-36 win at Oklahoma State. Texas scoring on a 2-yard run with 29 seconds left. No surprises in the top 10 as number 1 Alabama beat Mississippi 33-14. It was 2nd-ranked Oregon 51, Washington State 26, number 3 LSU 38, Towson 22. 4th-ranked Florida State 30, South Florida 17. Number 5, Georgia outscored Tennessee 51-44. And 6th-ranked South Carolina beat Kentucky 38-17. This is SRN Sports. 14th-ranked Ohio State held off number 20, Michigan State 17-16. The victory is this man, Urban Meyer's first in a Big Ten game.
To go on the road in a hostile environment against a quality football team and find a way to win and answer every drive with another drive. And when it's time to go make a play, they did.
After losing at home to the Mustangs last season, 15th-ranked TCU beat SMU 24-16. 17th-ranked Clemson was a 45-31 winner over Boston College. It was 18th-ranked Oregon State 38, Arizona 35. Number 19, Louisville 21, Southern Mississippi 17. 22nd-ranked Nebraska held off Wisconsin 30-27, while number 24, Boise State beat New Mexico 32-29. NFL referees have approved a new 8-year contract with the league. The deal was approved by a vote of 112-5 on Saturday. The deal came quickly after 3 weeks of escalating difficulties for league-hired replacement refs. With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
All right, Howard, back with you. Talked to Susie off the air, and apparently there's been some other people that have called and had some questions about yellow spots and things happening in turf, and it's fairly common. Some of mine that I told you about earlier in the show was because I had been doing a bunch of experiments and planting things and changing things. We had ended up accidentally covering up some heads, some sprinkler heads, and through the drought and not getting watered properly, that led to some of our issues, and that could be the case with some of you that are asking me about stuff. On the other hand, it could be the other end of the spectrum. You could be keeping St. Augustine especially too wet, and then diseases, brown patch and or take all patch, can get started because of the stressfulness of that situation. Susie had not used any fertilizer at all, and she probably just had a need for what I'm commonly recommending and doing myself, and that is an application of dry molasses as a fertilizer now, and then a half inch of a good quality compost above that. And this is the perfect time of the year to do that. She also asked me about weed and feed. I think she was a new listener to the show. Delighted to have people like that there, because she was asking me about, she hears advertising and other people recommend weed and feed fertilizers and wanted to know if she should do that. And, of course, if you've listened to me, you know that that's the worst thing that there is. It's the thing I recommend the least is weed and feed. They should be banned. They should not be on the market. Even the chemical pushing advisors that are out there say not to ever use a weed and feed fertilizer. We're almost in complete 100% agreement, those of us in the communication business, that weed and feed fertilizer should not be used, yet they continue to sell greatly because the Scotts Miracle-Gro people have billion-dollar budgets and advertise all that stuff as being the thing that will save your landscape and your life and everything else. Don't use them. They are the worst fertilizers in existence, the chemical weed and feed fertilizers. Second worst are the nitrogen-only fertilizers that just have, the first of the three numbers is all that's in the bag. That's the second worst fertilizer as far as throwing things out of balance and hurting the biological activity in the soil and all that. And then the third worst fertilizers are those that are just simply high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers. What are the good ones? Well, all the organic fertilizers. Compost is a great fertilizer, dry molasses. There's a lot of different blends of fertilizers that are available out there, and they're all good. By the way, one more thing before we go back to the phones. I looked up this teddy bear a little bit more. It's a Monrovia tree. It's apparently was registered under the name Southern Charm, and it is a specific clone that they have registered and patented, I guess. And they're saying that it's compact and moderate growing, but again, don't be fooled that moderate growth, and that's what I said about the little gem. The growth is kind of slow compared to a regular magnolia under a good, healthy program, but it is eventually going to be big, so be a little bit careful about where you plant. It looks like a good plant, good choice, though. Sheena is next up in Murchison, Texas.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Sheena. Good.
I was wanting to plant a fall garden, and time has gotten away from me, and I wanted to know if it was too late to plant cucumbers and any other vegetables that you might recommend to plant now, or herbs.
It's a little bit late for those, especially from seed, Sheena, because we've already gotten into the temperature time when the days are getting shorter and nights are getting cooler. And so unless you could find some pretty big transplants, they would germinate from seed and start to grow, but I just don't think you have enough time from now till we start having some frost to get much production. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, with the fall stuff, broccoli and cabbage and kale and cauliflower and Brussels sprouts and all those kinds of things, garlic, it's time to plant all those. You know, this is a perfect time to get those kind of things going. But for the squashes and cucumbers and zucchinis and all that sort of thing, it might be better for you to wait until next season on those. Those of you that have those growing, you're going to have still plenty of time to get a lot more production from now until frost. But to start them out right now, it's just a little bit too late.
And when should I start them next year?
Well, you can start them inside under lights or in a greenhouse condition before the last frost. They just can't go out until all frost is gone and the soil and the air temperatures are up in the 70s and we don't have any fear of frost anymore. Some people jump the gun and will plant them a little bit before the frost is completely gone, and you can get away with that if you cover them with floating row cover and, take some precautions. But the answer to your question is the safe time is after it's warm and no more frost.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Appreciate the call. Good luck with your gardens. And I'd certainly recommend planting the cool season things now. You'll really have a lot of fun. It's a good time for a lot of stuff. Carrots and radishes. Radishes are one of those things that are so fast to germinate and so quick to come up. There's a lot of things that even if you don't get the full benefit of the root crop, like beets, for example, the foliage that you get is just delicious in salads and stuff, so you can give that a whirl. The only thing that's still probably a little too early for a lot of us in the South is spinach and turnip greens, I guess, although we're pretty much in the window for that even now. And if you want to plant if you like me and you like greens, one of the best greens of all taste-wise is sugar beets. and they can be planted now. You're going to have to look around for the seed. They won't be in every garden center. They may be in some of the feed stores, and you can order them offline. Try to get some that haven't been treated with the toxic material. If they're pink in color, they've been treated with fungicides and things like that. So try to get seed that's not treated with toxic material if you can. Linda in Steamboat Springs. Hey, Linda.
Hi. I have a question about using dried banana peelings.
Uh-huh.
I've heard that it's good to put them around roses. Is there a better use for them, or should we just throw them in the compost pile?
Well, you know, the best use of all, Linda, is if you had any chickens. Chickens absolutely love banana leaves and banana stalks.
Banana peelings, though. I mean banana.
Oh, peelings or leaves, either one. Anything about the banana, chickens love. But, yeah, chopping them up and putting them in the soil is a good source of potassium and a lot of other trace minerals. So, yeah, you can put them directly in the soil. You can put them in the compost, either one.
But they're not especially around roses?
They tend to be used around roses a lot because rosarians have found that they get some benefit, but it comes from the available potassium and the other trace minerals that are in there. But they're good around any plants, not just roses.
I see. Well, we've got about 50 pounds of little tiny quarter-inch pieces of dried banana peel.
Oh, good.
And it's a project, a busy hands project we're working on and trying to find out what's the best thing to do with this, and there's any chance we can market it for something special in gardens.
Oh, I think that's a good idea. Direct application of that into the soil, I think, would have all kinds of benefits. It'd probably also kind of like putting the pulp of orange and citrus in the ground, like I've talked about before, helping. It probably also help with beneficial with root knot nematodes, the problem nematodes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when you're putting in something that has a lot of nutrient availability and it's got a lot of organic matter also along with it, you're stimulating a tremendous amount of beneficial bacteria and fungi and protozoa and all kind of life in the soil, which will counteract the problem of microbes like root knot nematodes and other pathogens in the soil. So I think you got a great idea there, a great product.
Well, I hope so, because there's an unlimited source of it.
Well, good. Keep me posted on that.
I was told that we should not put grapefruit and orange rinds in our compost piles. Are you saying that's...
Well, whoever said that didn't know what they were talking about. That's one of the best ingredients for the compost ever. I'll tell you a little story. I was doing some work. I was doing some consultation down in Costa Rica for an aloe vera growing operation down there. And when I first started working with them, we were trying to convert them over to a total organic program because the FDA was all over their back about that. And so I went down there, and the first thing they tell me is that they're filleting the aloe vera and getting the gel out for the pharmaceuticals they were making, and they were throwing the peelings away. They were literally just dumping them. And I said, why in the world don't you use that in the compost pile? Well, somebody said that wouldn't make good compost. So I got them to do that, but that was real high protein, you know, and they needed something else mixed in, and we kept looking for various kinds of things. And I said, you know, we're in Costa Rica. There's bound to be plenty of people growing citrus, for example, and maybe we could get the citrus rinds and pulps. Well, it turns out that there's a great big citrus producer, an orange juice producer, not too far down the road from them. And I talked to these people, and they had serendipitously discovered that they could solve hauling their peelings to the landfill, which they were doing before, by simply piling them up in a pile and letting them compost. And it made the most beautiful compost you've ever seen in your life. And it was nothing but 100% citrus peelings. So whoever said to you that citrus peelings can't go in the compost pile just simply didn't know what they were talking about.
Well, that's very interesting. Well, what about the if the citrus have been sprayed with something to, you know, make them last longer?
Well, that's always an issue. We deal with that with every crop we deal with. There's not a better way to neutralize those residual chemicals than the composting operation itself. Now, to help it work even better, you can put things like zeolite, mix that into the compost. You can add molasses to the compost mixture to speed up, to heighten the biological activity that goes on in the pile. And that's how you neutralize the toxins. You don't just, because they've had some contamination, send them to the landfill. You detox them.
Oh, that's great to know.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much.
Appreciate the call. And good luck, and keep me posted on that. That sounds like a great thing you're into.
I hope so. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. From Steamboat Springs to Paris, Texas. Hello, Dottie.
It is a beautiful, rainy day.
It is, for sure. What's up?
I was channel hopping yesterday, and I came across this channel when they was growing things on roofs and gardens and things like that. And this lady had a garden in her front yard. And they asked her, don't you have a problem with rabbits? She said, I used to, but I've discovered something, and she's totally organic. She said, I've discovered that if
Dottie, we're going to have to keep everybody in suspense and tell them when we come back. I'll be back right after this to talk to Dottie about rabbit control. One of the places you can go to buy Crazy Water is at the Crazy Water store in Mineral Wells. This is where the Crazy Well is and where you can purchase Crazy Water and many related products. Crazy Water is what I drink, and there are several reasons why you should too. Other waters can't add naturally occurring minerals to their water, only synthetic ones. Crazy Water's high level of natural minerals are more readily absorbed by your body than synthetic minerals. Crazy Water is also a natural sports drink without all the artificial flavors and sugars. Crazy Water drinkers love it because it's real and it's an easy means of hydration and electrolyte replenishment. Crazy Water's been making people feel good since 1881. Go to drinkcrazywater.com and click on Find Us to locate a store in your area. If your favorite store is not carrying Crazy Water, click on the red Get Crazy banner ad on the top of the store location page to print a page that you can give to your store so they can get Crazy Water for you. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist and Drug Muggers. I understand the value of medication, but in the process of helping, they can rob the body of many essential nutrients. I call them drug muggers because they spark side effects that are often diagnosed as a new disease. Every medication, whether over-the-counter or prescription, robs the body of beneficial bacteria. That's why I recommend probiotics for anyone taking medication and for good health in general. Bacterial balance is vital for healthy digestion, improved immunity and tip-top health. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics nurtures the garden of bacteria that is distinctive to your body. Backed by 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's exclusive formula uses living bacteria combined in a Japanese fermentation process that sets Dr. O'Hara's probiotics apart from all other brands.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com. Everyone is talking environmental issues and going green. Natural organic gardening and landscaping are important parts of this movement. Some organic proponents only say to stop using the chemicals. Howard Garrett, in the highly acclaimed Organic Manual, explains in detail what to do instead. His what to do is the organic method. He recommends stopping the use of toxic chemical pesticides and synthetic fertilizer, but goes on in great detail about the practical alternatives. This is one of the few gardening books effective for use coast to coast and border to border. The best-kept secret of all, uncovered in the Organic Manual, is that the organic program is better in every way. Whether it's growing beautiful landscaping or delicious, healthy food crops, the Organic Manual explains bed preparation, planting, pest control, and compost making. It also covers pet management and natural living advice. Purchase the Organic Manual in bookstores everywhere. Also available in independent garden centers, nurseries, hardware, and other fine stores. Go to DirtDoctor.com to purchase or to find a store near you.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
The Natural Organic Warehouse provides state-of-the-art natural organic products and programs that produce great results and will save you money. This week's featured product is Avenger Weed Killer. It's a fast-acting, non-selective, natural control for most weeds, including grasses and broadleaves. Visit naturalorganicwarehouse.com. That's naturalorganicwarehouse.com. Natural Organic Warehouse. Organic programs and products that work. The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic approaches in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC wants to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center can use your support. Your contribution is tax deductible. Go to DirtDoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the bottom of the homepage to find out more about TORC and how you can help.
Okay, Howard, back with you. We're about out of time. This has gone by fast today. Those of you that I don't get to, hang on. I'll talk to you off the air after we go. By the way, the Doreen does all our stuff on getting the archives up for the newsletter, and she's been texting me saying that she's put the tree archives on there, and the wizard keeps chunking them off. We've got an antiquated old system that's terrible, but hopefully the first two will be on there. The third newsletter in the series, How to Plant Trees, is the current one, and it's there for sure. The other two or three, however many we've done, we're doing them one step at a time of how to plant trees. I'm doing it in more detail than I've ever done it before, so check it out. If you're planting anything from small fruit trees up to orchards and big landscape projects, there'll be some information in there that'll be helpful for you, okay? Next up is Patsy in Fort Worth. And by the way, Dottie apparently had to go, and we didn't find out the secret to controlling the rabbits. If I get that information, we'll put it on the website. Maybe she'll call next week of what her new idea was. Patsy?
Yes. Uh-huh.
What's up?
I just have a question about some fertilizer. I know you recommended dried molasses, which I bought. But he also recommended 305. He told me to put the molasses down first and then the 305 on top of that. And I wonder what you thought about that.
What is 305? Is that the analysis?
It's just what's on the bag. It's Nature's Guide.
Oh, it's a Nature's Guide product?
Uh-huh.
Well, I got a call back from David who said that he had some seed contaminated in his dry molasses. And without getting, I'm going to talk to the people whose name he mentioned that's the problem product, and it sounds like it might be the one you have too, and see if there's an issue there. In the meantime, for everybody, the dry molasses that I use myself, and I know that has never had a problem like that, is called Stockade, and it's available out there. So in the meantime, before I get to the bottom of whatever this contamination might possibly B, you might want to go with that Stockade product.
You
don't necessarily need a the other question is, you don't. I don't use anything as a fertilizer except the dry molasses.
Okay.
You can do both, but if you do both, you better cut the rate down on both of them to about 10 pounds per 1,000 square feet, 10, 15 at the most, instead of using the full 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet, because dry molasses, if it's a quality dry molasses, has really good, strong fertilizer value.
Okay. One other question. I should have gotten it down before we had this steady rain, and I didn't. And, of course, everything is really wet, so when is the best time for me to put the dried molasses down now?
You and me both. Just as soon as the grass is dry enough so that when you're spreading the fertilizer, the dry molasses, it's not sticking to the wheels and your legs and making a big mess.
Okay.
As soon as the surface is dry enough, it's a perfect time to do it.
Okay, and then when do I water it in? Do I let it sit a little bit before I water it in?
You can let it sit or water it in right away, either one. There's not a burn problem issue with organic fertilizers. Both of us, Patsy, should have got it down before the rain, but we didn't.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Patsy. Appreciate the call. Let's see. There's something else I was going to tell you about the molasses. If you want to see what I'm talking about, naturalorganicwarehouse.com does have the Stockade in there if you can what you want to see, and we also have the specifications there, what the sugar level ought to be and what the technical aspects of the dry molasses I recommend. You don't have to buy that brand or from there at all. Just look at the specifications. Those are the specifications for the best, in my opinion, the best dry molasses, and just make sure what you buy has something similar if you're going to buy it somewhere else. Stan, next up in someplace. Where are you, Stan?
I'm in Dallas.
Hey, Stan.
Thanks for I apologize for having to hang up earlier.
Oh, no problem.
The power of dried molasses is amazing to me. I live over at DAC Country Club, and I know Kevin, so this is the truth, but it sounds like a fib. I bought some crummy hibiscus plants for $3.95, about 8 of them, and about a foot tall, and I told my wife, I said, I don't think they'll make it because they're so cheap. But I planted each one of them. I took the largest styrofoam cup you can buy, at least 4 of them per hole, full of dried molasses, and then I poured them around them after I planted them. And these plants today, I'm 6'2", and they're taller than I am and big around as a Christmas tree, and they're hummingbirds everywhere because they have these big, huge red flowers on them. And this was in June. I know I overdid it with dried molasses, but it's absolutely amazing.
Well, that's good. I'm glad it worked so well for you. Did you use anything else other than the dry molasses?
No, sir, I did not.
Well, Judy mentioned to me this year that our hibiscus, and we don't have full sun in our garden. We have kind of spotty sun. And she asked me why our hibiscus were blooming better this year than ever before. And I did the same thing, used the dry molasses as the fertilizer, and then I've drenched a couple of times and sprayed the foliage with the Garrett juice mixture. So it works. It's simple. It sounds too simple to work, but as you have experienced, Dan, it really does work well.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Those of you on the line, hang on. I'll help you before I get away. Enjoyed being with you today. Still looks a little rainy outside here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I hope your weather's good enough to get out and do some gardening. Fall is the best time to plant. Vegetables, herbs, landscape things, solid sod, anything. This is the time to do it. So get out to your nurseries, get some beautiful fall color as well as permanent things, and have a lot of fun. I'll see you next time. Enjoy your gardens. Don't forget to feed the birds.